Morning, everyone. Welcome to Rock Regina Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this very strange weather day. It's sort of winter weather with spring temperatures or something like that. I'm not really sure what's going on, but we're here, and it's wonderful to see all of you. A couple of announcements. Hopefully in your bulletin you got a little thing you hear about the pecans and other tree nuts that we've ordered. We ordered them, they should be here next week. And Wanda didn't order quite as many just because of everything that's going on this year. She wasn't sure that we needed quite as many. So just call Wanda to place your order. Everything from this year that we ordered is from the new crop for this year, so nothing is previously frozen, anything like that. It's all fresh, and she has a list of all the different things that we've ordered there on this handout here. So, and the pecan pie, I don't think is included. You have to make that yourself, but you could probably guilt trip Wanda into making you a pecan pie, although she is kind of stubborn, so she may just tell you go down to the store and buy one if you want one that badly. Let's see, a few announcements. We will have Bible study this Wednesday at 6 p.m., and we're going to have it here at the church. Terry and Nora Lee, Nora Lee's hairdresser tested positive for COVID, and Nora Lee saw her on, not 2 days ago Friday, but the Friday before, and then they didn't find out that she had tested positive until I think Monday or Tuesday the following. So just as a precaution, they're quarantining themselves. And so that will run, I believe, through Thursday or Friday right in there for the 10 days. So we'll have it here at the church. And we are currently in 1 Peter. So everyone is welcome to come and join with us. Last week it was just me, Beth, and Joshua. So, and as you see, the place didn't burn down, so we managed to handle it pretty well. But everyone is welcome to come to that at 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. Also, this past Friday, the mayor of Rockwood called a bunch of the different church leaders, pastors, and such. For a meeting, and the meeting was, of course, about COVID. What else, right? And he was mostly just asking us to remind everybody to do the precautions that you need to do: wear your mask, and wash your hands, and social distance, and all that kind of stuff. Our numbers are up in Roan County, and there aren't as many deaths, it doesn't seem, but there are quite a number of infections. And so he just wanted to ask us to ask you all to remember to wear your masks and to do all the things that I think most of us have been doing anyway. And he said that, you know, he's not asking us to shut down church or anything like that, but he just wants us to just be socially responsible in that way. So I told him that we would make sure to let everyone know that. Also, tomorrow at about 10:30, we're going to be moving Marianne Owings out of Victorian Square and over to her new facility, whose name always escapes me. Jamestown, that's it. And so if anybody is able to help, I don't think that there's a lot of heavy things. There's maybe one or two heavy pieces of furniture, and Laura has a truck, but mostly it's a lot of little things and all that. So say what? Yeah, if you can still do that, I don't know if we'll need the truck, but it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to bring it if you don't mind. But it'll be Marianne goes to dialysis at 10:15, and they want to do it while she's at dialysis, so that's why I say about 10:30 or so is when we'll... Yeah, the one that's just over here. Do what? You shouldn't. I'll be there, so I'll just hang out in front and wait for you, so that way we can be lost together, if nothing else. So, but it shouldn't be a problem finding them. But anybody else that wants to help, you are more than welcome to. I know that they would appreciate it. And if you know anybody that you can rope into helping, then by all means, do that. That's what children and grandchildren are for, right? But as I say, about 10:30 tomorrow morning is when we'll do it, and over at Victorian Square. Other than that, I can't think of any announcements. Can you think of anything I might have missed? Okay. Clayton's like, what are you asking me for? But see, that way if I forget something, it's your fault. See, that's... Well, let us begin our service together with the chiming of the hour. Please stand for our first hymn, number 88, Maker in Whom We Live, and we will sing the first and last verses. Thank you. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few that I have brought with me. The first is Lynette's uncle Eddie is not doing well. Many of you may remember that he has the same brain cancer as her father had, but his seems to be more aggressive. And so the last word that we got was the other day that Lynette's aunt Charlene is trying to get Eddie to go into hospice care. And I don't know, have you heard if he's decided to go or, okay. So keep them in your prayers, if you will. Also, you may notice that Larry's not here today. He was planning on coming, but as we know, he is dealing with Alice as well as his dad, and so his dad wasn't feeling well this morning, and so Larry just said it'd probably just be easier for him to stay home today. So keep them all in your prayers, especially Larry. I know that he's struggling a lot, and you know Larry, he'll never show it, but I know that he's struggling a lot, and he would really appreciate all of your prayers. Also, as I mentioned before, Noralee's hairdresser, whose name I don't know, honestly, they asked over at Chevront what her name was, and I said, you know, I have no idea. but God knows, and so she's tested positive. I don't know if she's showing any symptoms. I don't know how ill she is, but she has tested positive. So keep her in your prayers, and of course, Terry and Noralee. Terry said neither one of them seemed to have any issues or anything like that, but just pray for them. And it's good to see the Kamikawas back here with us. We're very thankful to see y'all here and that y'all are doing well. And if anybody doesn't think COVID's that big a deal, then you can talk to them and they'll tell you about it a little bit, I think. But it's very good to see you back here, and we thank God that you're both feeling better. And Jordan, it's good to see you as well. And let's see. I believe that's all that I can think of at the moment. We do want to pray for Clayton's grandparents. I just remembered they've both tested positive for COVID, and so let's keep them in our prayers as well. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us? All right. One other praise. You may have noticed if you got here early enough, but Morgan is walking, and that is great progress. The bad thing is that now you don't have to, you know, dodge that chair. So, although I'm sure that if you asked, Morgan would try and run you over with the chair. If you so desired. So, but it's wonderful to see the progress that you've made, Morgan, and We're very glad that you are doing well and that you're healing every day, and we praise God for that. If no one else has any requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we certainly have at the forefront of our minds, as we have most of this year, this virus. And we pray for all of those who are affected by it in various ways, whether they are ill with it, whether they've just tested positive but don't feel it, whether they know people that have it or have lost people because of it. Lord, we also pray for those with other sicknesses and illnesses, and even with fallout from this this issue that has nothing to do with sickness, just loss of job, loss of income, loss of hours. Lord, we pray that you would be with all of those who need your help, and that you would use us to help you help others. Lord, we want to keep everyone who was mentioned today in our prayers. We pray for healing, we pray for comfort and strength, we pray for wisdom and discernment. Lord, we pray for wisdom and discernment for our leaders, our local leaders, as well as our national leaders, and even leaders around the world. We pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them courage and encouragement, and that in all things they would make the best decisions with your help. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, remind us that worship is about you, it is not about us. Help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth as we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go to our next hymn, number 432. As you're able to, please stand. And we will sing the first and last verses of Yesu, Yesu. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we want to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Just as a reminder, we have baskets at this entrance and at the entrance back there that you can put your offering in. You can also mail it in to the mailbox or come and just drop it in the mailbox if you prefer. And Wanda and I have been trying to be here more often during the week. we're limited at how much we can come because the bishop has asked us not to be here as much. But we do try to be here a few times during the week. So if you happen to see our car, feel free to bring it in that way as well. And also, there's a link on our Facebook page that will allow you to give online. So however you decide to give, whether to the church or whether to another who you feel needs a blessing, let's pray a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Bless you. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So, I don't know if y'all know it, but we live in some kind of difficult times here in the last little bit, right? It's scary out there, you know? But it's always kind of been scary out there. It's always been uncertain. There's always been something. I mentioned today over at Chevron that this isn't even the worst it's been in recorded human history. I mean, if you look worldwide statistically, violence is down. Deaths are down. There are a lot less illnesses that we have to worry about, that we concern ourselves with. people, by and large, are living in more prosperity than they have ever in human existence. We're tending to live longer. There have been periods of time in history where people have lived longer, and I'm not just talking about early biblical times. There have been times in history where that has been true, but as a whole, the population of the world is tending to live longer. Yet we're more afraid, I think, than we've been in a long time. We're more worried than we've been in a long time. Y'all may remember, I just barely remember it, when AIDS was a thing. I mean, it still is a thing, but it's not nearly a thing like it used to be. I'm talking about where it's like, can I use the restroom after somebody? Will I get AIDS? It got so ridiculous it even got to, if somebody is gay, can I shake their hand? Will they give me AIDS from shaking their hand? Those were scary times. Like I say, I just remember it. I'm old enough to remember it, but not old enough. I wasn't old enough at the time to understand how terrifying it was for people. But some of you certainly remember that. And what happened in that time was that everybody looked for a scapegoat, right? That's what people do with fear. Look throughout human history and people get scared and they look for a scapegoat, right? Back then it was gay people, because it started out amongst gay men. And so it was their fault. It was God's punishment for them. But that's not anything new. Look throughout history. Not even in, you know, some people like to blame Christianity for everything because, I don't know, it's the easiest target. But look outside of Christianity. Crops fail. Why do the crops fail? Lots of different reasons. You didn't give enough of an offering to the gods. You gave it to the wrong god. You're bad. Don't like you. Let's blame this person. Let's blame that thing. Everybody goes around. It's doom and gloom. I think part of our reason that we're so concerned with what's going on, why it feels so oppressive, is because we have a lot of access to information. Right? I mean, we think about the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague was horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible, but did the people in South America know about it? Very doubtful, right? I mean, I guess somebody from Europe could have gone down there at some point and, you know, said something. Possible, but it's very improbable. The Aborigine in Australia didn't know anything about the bubonic plague. Those in the continent of Asia didn't know. Those in what is now the United States and Canada and Mexico certainly didn't know. But in Europe, it was terrifying. Because it was there. And that, I think, is part of our problem, is that whatever's happening in the world, we can be there. Turn on the news, there it is. Get on the internet, there it is. Hop on Facebook, there it is, along with a bunch of other stuff that you don't even know if it's true or false, and people are fussing and fighting with each other about who's right and who's wrong, just adding to the problem, right? It used to be for us, when it got to be too much, you could get on YouTube and watch videos of cats doing crazy things. Well, now YouTube has a section at the very beginning of their thing that's like, trending news. Yes, that's what I needed on YouTube, was trending news. Like, I don't have it everywhere else, right? They might as well just knock on your door and say, hey, by the way, you know, it's there, it's in our face. And so we're like, woe to me, woe to us. The day of the Lord is at hand. Now, hopefully Keith got this comic up. I want to share with you one of the great philosophers of all time. If Keith can get the comic up.
You didn't send it to me.
I didn't. Boy, I thought I did. Well, guess what? I didn't send it to him. Well, you'll just have to listen to me tell you about it. One of the great philosophers of our time, a little six-year-old boy named Calvin, and his stuffed tiger named Hobbes. There's a comic where Calvin wants to go outside to play. And his mom says, have you cleaned your room? Nah, I'll do it afterwards. And she says, nope, get upstairs and clean your room. That place is a sty. So she forces him upstairs. So he goes upstairs, and Hobbes, his stuffed tiger, who is also real whenever Calvin is around, is sitting on the bed reading some comic books, and Calvin's fussing and whining about living in an oppressive regime, and you know, his mother is Stalin, and you know, all the things that we think about our parents when they try and make us do stuff we don't want to do. And he says, it's gonna take me hours to clean this room and I won't get to go outside to play. And Hobbes says, hours? Are you kidding? It'll take 30, 45 minutes tops. And Calvin says, yeah, but I've still got a few hours of complaining left to do. It's a vicious cycle. We get bad news. We complain about bad news. So we feel bad. So we go to see if there's something more about the bad news, because we're kind of addicted to it. And we get more bad news, and we complain about it, and we feel bad. So we go looking, and it just keeps spiraling. And then you get the people who are taking advantage of it, right? Oh, doom and gloom, doom and gloom. It's funny to me, in my lifetime in presidential elections, how ammunition and gun sales always go up every time a president wins. Doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican, really and truly, I've noticed that. Since I've been able to vote, I was officially able to vote with George W. Bush's first term. He won and gun and ammo sales went up. He got reelected and gun and ammo sales went up. Barack Obama won, gun and ammo sales went up. He won again, gun and ammo sales went up. Our current president, Trump, won, gun and ammo sales went up. Now they're fighting over who won, gun and ammo sales go up. Why do gun and ammo sales go up every time a president gets elected? Because there are people on TV that are blah, 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 blah. Be afraid. Be scared. The revolution is coming. There's violence in the streets. In a little section of the world, roughly 2,000 years ago, there was a little church in a little area called Thessalonica. And Paul wrote two letters that we know of to them. And do you know that the church in Thessalonica is the only church that Paul writes a letter to where he doesn't have anything bad to say about them? He tells them, man, you guys are great. I can actually do work because I don't have to worry about what you're doing. So His letter is, 1 Thessalonians is entirely encouragement. And here at the end of it, he mentions the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, for those of you who don't know, is a continuing idea throughout Jewish theology. It's the day where God will judge evil, destroy evil, and basically renew creation. But there are also days of the Lord where God brings about judgment. You look through the prophets and they say, day of the Lord's coming. New Testament, day of the Lord's coming. The day of the Lord has come a few times, depending on which day of the Lord we're talking about. And we hear judgment, and we hear judgment, and we hear judgment. And we say, woe is me, and we go and we buy more guns and more ammo. We stock up on cans, not to shoot, but to eat food out of. I remember when Y2K happened. Everybody remember Y2K? Y2K was wonderful, right? Y2K happened, everybody was terrified, and they were building bomb shelters, and something about the mountains. People bought all this land in the mountains because, I don't know, I guess Y2K wouldn't affect the mountains or something, but people bought all this land in the mountains. And I remember my youth pastor at the time. He said, I can't wait until spring of 2000 because I'm going to get a new generator for really cheap. Because all these people have bought generators, and now they won't need them, and they can't take them back. And he actually did. He got a really, really nice generator for about $700, and it was one of those that's probably a good $2,000-$3,000 brand new. Everybody was afraid. Everybody was terrified. Oh, my goodness. It was. And nothing happened. Jesus was coming back. Jesus was also coming back when Ronald Reagan was elected president. He was also coming back when Ronald Reagan was reelected president. He was coming back when Jimmy Carter was elected president. He was coming back when the bubonic plague was hitting Europe. He was coming back in 1000 AD because it's 1000 AD, right? And God likes thousands for some reason. He was coming back in the year 34 AD, a year after he ascended. And what does Paul tell the church in Thessalonica? You know the day of the Lord is coming. I don't have to tell you about it. It's coming. You know it. Why are you worried? Why are you scared? Why are you afraid? You're light. You're of the light. You're not of darkness. Anybody ever been in complete darkness? Yeah. If you ever go to a cave like the Lost Sea, for instance, they'll usually turn the lights off and show you what complete darkness is. And it is truly complete darkness. You put your hand here and you can't see it. I mean, that's how dark it is. Paul says the people that should fear the day of the Lord are the people who are in complete darkness. They can't see their hand in front of their face. But the funny thing about complete darkness, all it takes is a little bit of light and it's gone. And yeah, there are things at the periphery you can't see, but you got your light, right? And so you can at least see where you're going. And the more light that you give, and the more light that you give, the less and less and less you have to fear. Paul says, you're not of darkness. You're of light. So be of light. Brothers and sisters, Christians aren't the only people who are scared. They're not. I got news for you. Even atheists are scared. They're scared. Where Christians differ is that we are tasked with dispelling fears. Bind up the brokenhearted, right? Heal the sick, feed the hungry. Lift up the fallen. That's what we're supposed to do. This virus will be here forever. I mean, you know, until Jesus comes back, it'll be here. Once a virus is here, it's here. They'll find a cure. It's similar enough to other viruses that it's, you know, even though it's a little bit different, it's similar enough. They'll find a cure and they'll find one fairly quickly. Life will go on. A few years from now, people will say, why were we ever worried about this thing? They'll laugh at us for wearing masks in church. Our kids will. You know, it'll happen. Life will go on. But God has put us here not to tell people, whoa, 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 the day of the Lord is here, but to preach the gospel, the good news, that the day of the Lord is nothing to fear for those who have the light. I want to give you one example to take with you. Anybody like horror movies besides me? I like horror movies. Beth loves horror movies. You can see she's a fan. She loves them. You ever watched a horror movie and it's building suspense and all that, and then they show you the monster and you go, boy, that is the corniest thing I have ever seen, and all that they've built up has gone away, right? The most effective horror movie is the ones that don't show you the monster because your brain can fill it in and make it more terrifying. Once the monster is brought into the light, you can see it for what it really is. And often, it's not really that scary. And you wonder, why was I ever afraid of that? As Christians, we're called to shine light in the darkness, so that people can see. Yeah, it's scary, but maybe it's not as scary as we thought. And maybe, just maybe, our God is bigger than all these things we're afraid of. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, in these difficult times to be light, to shine into the darkness, to bring hope to the hopeless. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you take all the blessings that heaven has to give. May you receive them, and may you take them and share them with all that you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.